I will never forget February 25th of 2022. Like
the news coming in just as we come on the air tonight, Ukraine's president addressing the people of his country just a short time ago, warning that Russian troops are moving in on the capital, closing in on Kyiv, saying they could storm the capital tonight.
I had just been in a bad car accident, and I was sitting down in my reclining chair, and I jumped up out of my seat. I was like, not again. Like, I remember, like, going like this, like, saying, Mom, not again with the, you know, the invasion and stuff. And I had to do something as a Gen Z, younger generation. I knew what to use my platform to speak up and stand with Ukraine. A friend of mine was saying, oh my gosh, we have an environmental problem in Ukraine, because when you're seeing and hearing, you know, those bombs going off, those missiles like hitting the ground, yeah. There's stuff like chemicals within the missile that it's not good for the animals to be taking in, meaning if they like are trying to find food, if they have to like lick the ground or something, or for anybody for that matter, like the water supply, like I would, yeah, it's not good. And sometimes the children may have to be separated by their parents because maybe the parents want them to be more protected. So they go off and they, you know, help, you know, I view women as like the shield maidens, and the guys are just out there fighting for Ukraine, and or the sad part where it's very heartbreaking, or if their parents have been deceased, meaning killed or passed away. Yeah. We are Ukrainian strong. Slava Ukraini. And sorry. We got this. Where it's been hard. Hard the last year and a half, but I know we're strong.
So hello and welcome to Create Your Ears.in podcast. I am Ajay Tambe, the host and producer of this show. And this time, this is kind of a special interview for me because I'm now interviewing a Ukrainian girl. She's based in California at this moment, but her heart is all over Ukraine. And she was very excited when she came to know about our show and me via India Dupre's song and the collaboration that we had, which was by name Don't Give Up. And after that, she came to know about India Dupre came on the show. Then she was very excited. Like, she was continuously lagging up and, hey, this is great. And then we had a chat. Then she shared about, okay, I am more excited about Catherine Winnick and her foundation, Winnick Foundation. And India Dupre and Catherine Winnick are friends. So that's where the whole thing happened. She was more into the content that we were posting. And then she said, hey, I am also excited about Ukraine and I want to talk about it. You should collaborate with Winnick Foundation and spread more awareness. And you can do that. But I said, like, okay, I don't know about that. But if you are excited, why don't you come on the show? And then this is how things happened. So then we set up a date and then we collaborated. We thought, like, okay, what can we do so that this particular thing to everyone is just only for the Ukraine and her journey as an artist. And she's a social media influencer. So we're going to talk about her childhood days, about how she grew up, and her family is based in Ukraine. Her background is all from Ukraine. So we are going to talk on more about what we can do in this particular 50-60 minutes to talk more on how things are going on in Ukraine, what should people do, and her point of view on what should happen now after whole this war situation. That's the thing. Okay, so her name is Valerie Alden. She is now based in California, and she is a very, very cute and good-looking girl. And welcome to the show, Valerie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, great. So what's going on there in California?
We are having very hot weather here. Okay. Not surprising. It's summer. And also we've been having weird weather at the same time, where we have some days that are not sunny and blazing hot. We've been having rain here, in fact, and stormy weather. So it's been a quite interesting weather this summer. It keeps going back and forth. I really thought to myself, you know, we may be having a different summer this year. And sure enough, I know in LA it's been stormy, cloudy, and here.
Yeah. So you were expecting a good kind of weather, and then suddenly storm came up, and then suddenly rain came up. And I know I was messaging people from California, you know, 4 or 5 people I know. So I was like, okay, are you good? Because I've been having news about the storms and the rains and ungodly amount of rain, like that. It's like flooding over all over California.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. And I guess that's the thing. So is everything good now at this moment?
Yeah, everything's going well.
That's why you're celebrating. Things are now properly normal, I guess, for you.
Yeah, it's sad though. What's going on in Ukraine now? It's pretty heartbreaking.
We are coming on. Okay. Sure. So here's the thing. Before we talk more about Ukraine and what point of view you have as a guest on the show, we are going to talk more on you. What's your background? What's your story? And why you stand for Ukraine at this moment? That is very necessary to know. People should know about that first before you share your point of view. Because why you care more on Ukraine, and why are you really into it? So before we start talking on Ukraine, please tell us more about yourself, your background, your childhood days, and your growing up phase.
Yeah, my childhood was pretty decent. The reason why I say decent is because I grew up, it was tough growing up, because the first 2 years of my life, I was in an orphanage in Ukraine. I was born in a very small town called Ludohian. We call it, in the United States, we refer to it as Ludochino. And I had a lot of poverty, and my biological parents couldn't take care of me at the time. So they actually did a very caring thing of placing me in an orphanage to give me an opportunity of life. And it was really rough at the orphanage, in the orphanage. They were very abusive in the orphanage, and I was definitely failing to thrive. And it's pretty tough to talk about, but. So-
Okay. How you came out of that? So what's the thing now? Like, tell me about your biological parents. Why, like, you met them after that?
No. Unfortunately, I was around 1.5 when I came to the United States, both by American parents. And so I was here in the United States, and my birth family were all the way in Ukraine. So that was a little bit challenging. And I really commend my parents, because they had me in a lot of intervention, like speech and language therapy, because I had no language when I came to the U.S. because
you're one and a half. You don't know where you came from.
Yeah. And it was it's a bit of a complicating story. My birth mother kept me for actually 9 months, 8.5 to 9 months. And both my parents, biological parents, knew they couldn't take care of me. So that's when they placed me in the orphanage. And at 1.5, I came home on Thanksgiving Day, actually. I landed in the U.S. on Thanksgiving Day. So Thanksgiving Day every year in my family today is really special.
Awesome. Wow. So Thanksgiving is the day that you celebrate a lot. I guess that's very special for you. Tell me about people who adopted you. Like, what's the story after that?
I want to give them everything I have, because they I view them as heroes, because I was dying when they had picked me up, because I was failing to thrive. I was very ill. I was really sick, and when they I actually chose my father, meaning I say that I was really crying and scared. And when my dad walked in the room, I just pointed at him. I was like this. And my mom has always told me the quote, "You chose your father." And they flew through from Ukraine. They flew through Warsaw. It was quite the journey. It really was. And to this day, I'm very thankful that they rescued me, because I possibly would have died within this several months if I wasn't rescued. So,
good.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about your parents? What they do? What they do for a living? How the lifestyle they had before? What was the story?
So, my mom grew up in Schenectady, New York, and she was into digital marketing and event marketing as well. So it's, I've always gone to, it's amazing how God brings family together, because, and my father was a commercial pilot. He was a captain for an airline, and he's also an attorney. So he was like this a lot, juggling. And also when my dad would be doing attorney work, my mom would be the property manager of a building that they both owned, which was the Alden Law Group. So my parents were very hardworking, and they've taught me to be very hardworking, and I commend them for that, because it's a lot.
Got it. We'll come on that. So how was your, now we are talking about you came from orphanage to a family. You spent time there. You loved it. And that's why you love those people at this moment. Those guys were here. But how was your like schooling phase and college phase at this moment? Any special memories? How was that period? What kind of student were you? Were you more studious or more creative or not studying good? How this whole thing till you reached the social media influencer phase happened?
I was viewed as very different, because I was language delayed, and I would really try hard academically, and I learned that I had real academic issues, challenges, and there were some teachers that were really understanding of kids that come from trauma and who have reading disabilities and stuff, and there'd be others that would just not understand. And I was picked on a lot as a student. I was bullied a lot. I was the target a lot, and going into high school was really rough, because that's when it was the worst. And I would be stuck on a certain topic, which was this photojournalist I viewed myself as, because it all started where I was taking really good pictures. Really good photographs. And I found myself that there's more to than just an average photograph. You can use it in art, you can use it in digital marketing to promote the products, which I still do to this day. And when I left high school, I gained a lot of confidence that I never had in high school.
Got it. So you were bullied a lot, I guess. You were picked on a lot as a kid. And that's really not good. But now I'm seeing you are rocking it. So you overcame that phase. You overcame that high school phase, that middle school, that area where, you know, you're very uncertain. You could end up anywhere. You could end up dying at that time. So that's like you could take your life. You know, it's that sensitive phase, that particular teenage phase, the particular where we are just growing up and we are just looking for validation, attention. Kind of lots of things are going on in your mind at this moment. So can you tell us, like, it may help someone who will be listening in the phase of, less in confidence, less having kind of a disability, like you may think like this guy can go in low in confidence or have it. So do you remember that phase, that moment where I am confident, I'm not going to take anything on me, and I'm going to show up, I'm going to pull up, I'm going to push up this whole thing up, and I'm going to build myself as more as the confident woman that you are now. So what was that phase when you took that decision? What was that whole thing?
I have to thank I had a really good history teacher senior year. She really pushed me to do a public speech in front of the school. We were doing a project-based learning, and I really have her to thank for a lot of this, because I left with a really open mind, and if I could say to my younger self, 12th grader Valerie, you've got this. Be yourself. Be open-minded to all these amazing doors that can you can open, because that's I kept opening one door after another, and I never expected to be a social media influencer to the point I've gained a lot of audiences. And but I'd tell the younger Valeria, you got this, be yourself, be open-minded is the big thing, is I've always thought to myself, be open-minded, be confident too. Be confident.
So you're saying that that particular phase where your history teacher told you to do the public speaking, you're saying that is the actually game-changing moment for you.
That's where you started. Miss Connors, okay. Her name.
a big salute to the history teacher, and she is actually playing a bigger role here to push you, and that's where you actually got confidence and that ability to think that, okay, I'm not taking anything on me now for rest of my life. Now things are going to change for me. I'm going to be a confident woman. That's where I guess, okay, so things kept on changing immediately for you, or you were like, okay, this happened, then people supported you, go on, do it, or you pushed yourself, no, I'm going to do it. Were the people involved, or were you pulling up yourself every single time? What was that?
Also started when I took a journalism class. I don't exactly remember the course it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I really took it to heart, and I started to promote this TV show directed and written by David E. Kelly and Big Little Lies. And I just found myself very confident and passionate for me promoting for them and stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And at the same time, I had to make sure I was safe, meaning like if people did reach out, like, are they real people or are they hiding behind the screen? And I'd make sure that the stuff I was like being told and stuff, like when, for example, if a star were to reply back, thank you so much for promoting, I'd get excited. But at the same time, my parents had a sit down conversation, and just to make sure that it was really that individual and not somebody impersonating them or something. So, and I started to gain more and more confidence when I found myself looking up more current events where I was very inspired by, like, for example, like what's happening with the climate and stuff was the first thing also. It's actually the second thing. So I found myself doing more research as a upcoming influencer, and I'd put together reels and just write down my thoughts and share it on social media. And it would even be seen by some of the stars, and it was a big like growing opportunity for me.
Wow. Got the whole idea. Now we are coming on. Thank you for sharing firstly about your childhood days, growing up phase from as a kid, how you were born to then to being in orphanage, then getting heroic parents who nurtured you, and then the whole thing about how you overcame yourself over those disabilities that you had in the school. And now tell us about your connection with Ukraine. How are you related or associated with people or the place in Ukraine?
I grew up learning a lot about my heritage, and my parents were very supportive of that. And I knew about the war when it first happened in 2014. And I remember being very worried about what was going on. And as I've gotten to be in contact with some of my relatives, I've gained more awareness of what was happening there. And I will never forget February 25th of 2022. Like, I had just been in a bad car accident, and I was sitting down in my reclining chair, and I jumped up out of my seat. I was like, not again. Like, I remember like going like this, like saying, "Mom, not again with the, you know, the invasion and stuff." And I knew I had to do something as a Gen Z, a younger generation. I knew I needed to use my platform to speak up and stand with Ukraine, and not just for myself, not just for the people, but for my relatives as well.
Good. Tell me about your relatives who are in Ukraine. How many are there? Like, are you know by them? You meet them regularly? You are used to meeting them regularly? What's the thing? How are you that strongly connected? Any memories?
Unfortunately, I would say I was very fortunate to have gotten some contact with some relatives via phone. It took like 12 years to reach. I've always been wanting to know a lot about my family, biological family, and I had a lot of support through that. And it was just unfortunate at the timing of the war, because I had a real strong connection with one of them, to the point he had said, I dreamed to meet you at the Polish border, and it was my dream too, to meet in person. And then the war broke out, and I was having less and less contact, and unfortunately a lot of them have been killed over there. It's really heartbreaking, and I'm very sad, but at the same time I have to stand strong, not just for them, but for Ukraine. And I'm grateful for the connection I had behind Via electronically. I would have loved to have met them in person, but yeah. You know, there's a lot of people that are struggling over there, not just myself. So I can't imagine being under a shelter right now, and so it's really tough. And my three sisters are, I hope and pray for them, and it's my dream to meet them, particularly one that turns 20 in August. Okay. And so it would be
like they are teenagers, around in 20s, early 20s.
I have three sisters, and one of them's 20, one of them's around 6.5, 7, and four and a half, four. So it's, yeah, and the 20-year-old actually doesn't know I exist. That's a very long story. I've always wanted to tell my sister, even if she's listening right now, I'm here for you, and I it's tough, but we're gonna get through this. We're strong enough.
So now we talk about your view on major environmental issues and challenges in Ukraine. What's your thought on that? Like,
it's very frightening. I remember discussing with a friend of mine of saying, oh my gosh, we have an environmental problem in Ukraine, because mm-hmm. when you're seeing and hearing, you know, those bombs going off, those missiles like hitting the ground, there's stuff like chemicals within the missile that it's not good for the animals to be taking in, meaning if they like are trying to find food, if they have to like lick the ground or something, or for anybody for that matter, like the water supply, like it's not good.
It's
over
not,
there.
It's hard to control, like, I guess.
Yeah, and I fear for the future, because it's going to take a bit, and I just hope and pray that we're not going to get another Chernobyl disaster, because that's my biggest fear. But I know the environment is going to be affected long-term, possibly, because of the damage that missiles has done, and just all the bombing and stuff. And it's going to take a lot of hard work to be able to getting it all rebuilt back, and for the environment to be healthier as well, for the civilians and the animals.
God. So I guess like the land, the chemicals in water inside land, and the whole land getting disrupted. So I guess that's the one thing that you're looking to more focus on, is like even the animals, the land, the vegetables, the water, mm-hmm. every basic thing to even survive on the land of Ukraine is now tough and hard, and just getting that right is literally hard at this moment. Just getting the basic of human beings living is now in danger. So even to settle that up is now the biggest fight for people in Ukraine. So now we focus on what's happening with the children in Ukraine. Like, what's happening with those kids? Like, before you told your sister is 6 year old, you know, like the one of them is six and a half. So what point of view do you have on this?
This is actually a very emotional topic for me, because I can somewhat relate to what the children are going through right now. Mm-hmm. Because they're being abandoned like crazy right now, because their parents are either have been killed, or they're having to leave them behind. And they are really traumatized, and particularly the young ones, they don't really understand what's going on, and And I can't imagine being a little one just hearing bombs, and it's really heartbreaking, and they're going to have a lot of trauma growing up, complex trauma. And when they're deprived of school, which is really important because it's part of their development, is they need to be learning in school, and particularly to have attachment, meaning to their parents, and for them to be having nobody. And it's just really heartbreaking. And there's a lot of orphanages are reopening. They're desperately trying to get the funding to be able to take care of the kids.
Yeah.
And I really feel for the children, and I can see myself a little bit in them, like, because it started out rough for me of being abandoned. So that's what I mean.
You can completely relate with those kids.
Yeah.
Trauma is one thing, I guess. The mental health thing, we can, like, for people who might connect with this, it's kind of that movie, you know, when any kind of soldier, it's that World War II phase, you know, where kids grew up just by hearing bombings and everything related to bombs
healthy.
And blast. Yeah, it's not healthy. And even if they grew up, like, it like, for example, we can relate to the movie scene, you know, where people were told, like, hey, war is over. There's no war happening. But they were still in that trauma of, like, they are still in the war. We see the movies of soldiers, you know, in World War II. There's a lot of movies made on just about the trauma, like, hey, we are not in war, the war is over. And they still can feel that being in that situation, like after 30-year-old, 44-year-old, 45-year-old. So that this is what you're talking about. This is what you're worried about at this moment. Like, even if they survive, just going through that mental trauma, mental illness kind of thing. This is going to be tough to even control them, because all they hear is bombing. You told me about the parenting thing, like, they are getting parents are not allowed to be with kids, some kind of thing. I just missed on. Can you talk more on that particular topic, like kids and parents? What's the thing with that relation? Like, what are these guys doing?
So it's that, I may have worded it a bit different. My apologies. What I mean by that is sometimes the children may have to be separated by their parents because maybe the parents want them to be more protected. So they go off and they, you know, help, you know, I view women as like the shield maidens, and the guys are just out there fighting for Ukraine, and or the sad part, which very heartbreaking, or if their parents have been deceased, meaning killed or just passed away. Yeah. So that's what I mean by detached and
fighting for Ukraine.
And the other thing I wanted to tie in quickly is they need attachment to be able to build trust. Trust is a major thing that I'm sure the children are having trouble right now, because if they keep going from one place to another, if they start forming connections with the caregivers or the humanitarian aid group, then they have to leave. Like, they're not going to be able to trust easily. So that's the other big concern. Yeah. And I know some people with the fundraising who are doing a lot of amazing work for the mental health of their children, to help them like do arts and crafts, to get out their feelings. Because I know art is one way to really relax the brain and to be able to get out feelings in a healthy way, which is within art, for example. So I just hope and pray that the children can be able to heal and have the lives that they deserve to have, instead of being underground, hearing bombs, instead of hearing, you know, the school bell ringing or something. So.
Good. Thank you for sharing and completely and clearing that whole point up. People and the parents are actually fighting. So they are not thinking about their family. They're actually thinking about their land, their people, their heritage, the whole culture and what they believe in. So they are now giving up kids to orphanage and to places where they think they would be safe, and then they can go and fight. So that's the situation with the parents and the kids at this moment. I guess that's the thing. Thank you for sharing on that and explaining it. Now we talk about how long will it take to rebuild Ukraine? Like, what's the estimated plan? if you've been talking to peoples and officials, like any kind of foundations, is that a 10-year, or it's still war going to happen? What's the thing?
It's very, that's a bit of a, let me see. So that's an very complicating thought to have, because the reason why I say that is because we're really we will, from me, honestly, for myself, I'm a little bit nervous of how long the war is going to happen, and I could venture guess it could take a decade, five years to 10 years.
It looks like a decade. It looks like it easy.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's, yeah, it's got pretty frightening to hear and know about, but
yeah, it's kind of a geopolitical situation, you know. It's not even about Ukraine at this moment. NATO getting involved, UK,
yeah.
US getting involved, and then Russia on the other point. So it's not even about people in Ukraine. It's about the, you know, it's acquiring that land. It's kind of that kind of situation. So firstly, that whole thing needs to settle down. You know, you don't, now this is the point where you don't even know the next missile, when the next missile is going to come up, or who is going to put a bomb and that. So it's not even like properly neutralized. So even to rebuild it, there's no surety of the what they rebuild gets destructed by a bomb falling on. So it's even that is the kind of thing at this moment. But people inside Ukraine, people who love Ukraine, like people like you, people like Catherine Winnick, and people who are still in love with the whole heritage and the whole culture of Ukraine,
yeah,
the land of Ukraine.
It's a beautiful country.
Yeah, they these guys are still fighting up, and these guys are putting in their whole life and their money and the whatever they can do to rebuild it again. So here comes the other thing that I'd like to know more. Are you supporting Winnick Foundation from long period? In what ways Winnick Foundation is helping people of Ukraine?
So, Catherine Winnick is the founder, and she's worked really hard to, one thing I really admire her for is the stuff that she does for Ukraine. And when I first knew about the war, I was pretty feeling alone and stuff. And When I heard that she was Ukrainian heritage, it's like I was starting to open. I was like a rose petal starting to open up. Ooh. Because I knew I wasn't alone and stuff. And
yeah,
I really admire the work that she does, being able to send the money off to the to the people in Ukraine, and particularly helping children, which is my biggest thing, and helping to rebuild back Ukraine, which is really important. And
yeah,
the work she's done is just amazing. I mean, she's met President Zelensky. I mean, that's amazing. Like
actually meeting the proper people, you know, actually meeting those people who can actually take action. Most of the times, you know, that's very powerful connection to be with the president of
Ukraine. She's a powerful person.
Which will also mean that the money she's putting and the effort she's putting, being a star, being an actress, you don't always focus on being there. But if the connection is proper, then that particular money, all of it will be used, and it will be like given proper direction in the rebuilding phase. So where you should use it, what should you focus on? So I guess this is where that proper thing happens. Okay, I guess. And I get, you look like a strong supporter. You have a fan page for Winnick Foundation. I hope those guys are listening. So in any sort of ways, any sort of ways they can just get you on board if they are looking for, and you can be a part and a team in any sort of ways. So that will only help Ukraine. All right. Thank you. Now we jump on. What are the major websites people should trust and visit so they can support rebuilding Ukraine and children of Ukraine? So with that, what I mean is basically anyone from around the world who's listening to this or this particular clip or this particular video. What are the trusted websites? You know, there's a lot of things going on, but what are the things like they can actually trust and have no issues? And if you know, can you please share those?
Yeah. A quick backstory on that. Back in February, I flew in to attend a Ukrainian panel meeting, and I learned about a lot of the organizations. And there is one that I really, there's several of them I really trust, and you've mentioned earlier. There's the Winnick Foundation, United 24, and there's Brighter Ukraine. And the Winnick Foundation is very, they're all very trusted. And the money goes straight to help Ukraine. And We also have the Red Cross here in the United States that help give humanitarian, like medical supplies. And also we've sent to what the Winnick Foundation also does. They also do humanitarian aid stuff. They get humanitarian aid off to Ukraine and along with Brighter Ukraine. And right now, the main focus is on rebuilding Ukraine, like rebuilding the schools for the children and teens and adults, and being able to provide the humanitarian support because they need food, water, shelter, food, water, and of course shelter, and they need blankets, food, like I was saying earlier. So I really, and it's really important to trust sites, because I know these three organizations are very supportive and very valid and 100% trustworthy. And plus, I think it's amazing that the Winnick Foundation, Catherine Winnick, works with President Zelensky and the First Lady. So that's another thing that's really significant for everybody to know. And this stuff, there's organizations here in the U.S. like the Red Cross and stuff, and we're thankful from the bottom of our hearts to get get people to support from the U.S.
So I guess these are the three organizations who we can focus on. So all the links will be mentioned here now, and I'll be connecting with her. So she'll be sending me those links so I can put it up here. And you also check the show description, so you can just visit them where you can properly find those links, and you can just go and then donate. So these are most trustable links that she recommended. The names will be there, and just go and check the show description. You'll find it there. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. This is the last phase of the interview. So any final message you'd like to pass on to your family and your sisters who are there in Ukraine in this last round?
Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional. We are Ukrainian strong. Slava Ukraini. We've got this. It's been hard. Hard the last year and a half, but I know. Okay. We're strong. Sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. No, not a problem. Not a problem. Just hold on. No problem.
I apologize for that. I just took a minute because it hits home. Like, it really does.
I completely get you. Something which is really like near and dear to you whenever you talk on it. So it was just about a small message, but I guess it's completely normal. It's completely normal. Not a problem. So any final message you'd like to give to people when it comes to rebuilding Ukraine, about kids and the environment in Ukraine? Any message you'd like to pass on so that it creates more awareness? Final message.
We really appreciate everybody's help and support through this. And even if it's okay, if you cannot donate money, that's totally okay. Feel free to use your platforms, Instagram, Twitter, social media, to spread awareness to what's been going on. And we are thankful to be having support from other countries, like from Poland and from here, from the U.S. We're going to win the war. We're Ukrainian strong. We're going to win. And if we continue to have support, and the biggest thing is to use your voices and to continue to just share, repost. And if you even have $5 to donate, to, for example, the Winnick Foundation or United 24, we'd really appreciate it. Slava Ukraina.
Good. Awesome. So thank you, Valerie. Thank you for being on the show. You know, this was more of my kind of thing, what I can do for the people of Ukraine. You know, I was, so this is my last message to the listeners and people who are listening, watching video, whenever you're watching it. This is kind of a thing that I wanted to do. And I had no idea how to do this by myself. So when I came to know about, so this is all started, you know, in the starting, I said, India was on the show, India Dupree, and I came to know about her song and her connection, a friend, their friends, you know, Catherine Winnick. Then she told me about, we talked on it, and Catherine Winnick was doing more on Ukraine Foundation, Winnick Foundation, meeting with President Zelensky and all these things. Then those guys talked about, they came up with a song, which is by name, Don't Give Up. Then that's where I came to know, that's where the whole thing, okay, I can do a clip on this by talking on Don't Give Up. But then Valerie connected and she showed interest. And I thought, like, okay, now I can actually do something for Ukraine, you know, using my show as a platform and getting her on board and actually telling her to tell the whole situation, what you feel. And this is kind of my thing where I can also be a part of that whole spreading up awareness. So that's been my part here. And when we connected, I thought, like, okay, we can also do a story here. So at this moment, if the story, as we're doing interview, it's not released, but when interview will be out, it will already be released. So I thought, like, we should do a story, you know, as she told me about her sisters who are stuck in Ukraine, and she, like, there's a 6.5-year-old girl and the kids in Ukraine hearing all bombings and all, and what kind of future they're going to have in the next 30 years, you know, getting the trauma of war going on all the time in their head. And that's the one part you should always focus on. So taking that thought in mind, I thought, like, why? I need to do a story on it, and we can actually do a story. So if you're listening to this, the story's link is linked below. And Valerie has given her voice to that story. So make sure you also listen to that story, because it's actually for the kids in Ukraine and the families and the parents of Ukraine. So more importantly, the kids of Ukraine. And it's a story of a girl who's stuck in the war and she's telling a story. So it's that thing. So this is how I thought, like, this is how I can do the collaboration and the awareness in a proper way using a platform that I have. So yeah, that's been me. And this is not like just like connecting an artist. She is a social media influencer. Her social media links will be mentioned in the description of this particular episode. This was more about in any, whatever I do, whatever as an artist I do, and whatever anyone do, using that to do something which helps someone. So that was the whole thing behind doing this interview. Thank you Valerie for being on the show. To everyone, just go and check the description, connect with Valerie, and connect with the foundation you'd like to be a part of. And yeah, that's it.